Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are right now. I know I'm in the afternoon and these two are in the night, basically. But welcome to episode 99 of the Go Get That podcast. This is, to say the least, pretty one of the first times we've all been together in a while. The gang's back for sure. It's we've all had a lot of lifing to do. But yeah. A lot of good things going on right now, not including Mr. Spieth. I mean, football's back today.
Oh, there's good things including Mr. Spieth. He's not playing, which is...
That is...
And our cup is upcoming.
It's true.
And we'll try and stay away from Mr. Cup as much as we can, because obviously we have a huge episode that we'll be dedicating to that in a few weeks. But yeah, it's... we're here to recap the season. And a season that I think we all would give a very low grade. Mr. Spieth gave it a B for the season. I'm leaning more towards a C minus to D plus. With a win, that easily could have been a B. I think if he had won the RBC, it probably wouldn't have been a B. But I don't know, man. Maybe. It's really tough to look at the season as anything but a failure. He did not win. I remember Jordan said he had 6 shots gained goals, and he did not achieve any of them.
Yes. So,
that's why you go winless.
Yeah.
Yeah. What grade would you get?
And he had a decent amount of chances to win this year anyways, too, which is a little unfortunate. I mean, he had the Valspar,
the API,
the RBC. And I mean, honestly, if you're giving yourself 3 to 4 chances to win a year, that deep contention, I mean, it's not bad. You should be converting at least one of those every time, but he didn't, to say the least. So you're here. Yes, I'd love to hear what you guys give the grades. I'll give it a C minus to be nice. But I'd love to hear what you guys have.
You want me to go down?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he gave himself a B. I'm just pulling up his data golf page here. Let's see, 7 years that were statistically better than this year. So I don't really know how that equates to a B this year when you've had 7 years that have been better. So are those like all A's? Like, I don't know how it statistically works for Mr. Spieth, how this would be a B when you have 7 years that are better.
He only had 1 year of college, so.
Yeah, I mean, the only years that were worse than this year were 22, 19, and 20, based on just pure stats and strokes gained and stuff like that. But
22 is worse than this year, huh?
Yeah, they have 22 is worse. So great for the improvement for Mr. Spieth.
I'm sure Mr. Spieth would give last year an A plus.
Yeah, I
be able to pull out a win. Shout out Tom Kim, by the way, for giving himself a C or a C minus, whatever that was.
That's where Mr. Spieth's expectation should be. Because Mr. Kim won, what, once or twice?
Honestly, it's not. It's the fact that he gave himself a B that's the most disappointing thing. It's not even like, that just shows so much, I feel like.
Our expectations should not be higher than his.
No, not at all. That's worst
problem.
Case scenario.
Big problem.
Yeah. So, but here we are. We're recapping a winless season. Yeah. Pretty interesting season on the PGA Tour with all the live stuff going on. And, I mean, Ham obviously got off to such a crazy start and then never really continued. Some would say that's not even talked about enough. So
it's an interesting storyline.
You have that storyline. You have Scotty completely collapsing with the putter, but still being like the best ball striker in the world. So there's that. You have the Rory dilemma where he's sort of been struggling to close, and 2 really weird major champions. So
yeah,
overall, it was a pretty interesting season. To say the least, the Ryder Cup team would look a lot different if Clark and Harmon did not win their majors.
Very true.
So yeah, it's, It was a crazy season, to say the least.
I think content wise, this season is an A+. I mean,
oh yeah,
how can you not? I remember I was, you know, in Europe, just taking a nap, and I wake up to PGA Tour and LIV are now like the same, you know, supported by the same, the PIF, and Jay Monahan is now sick, and Rory is underwhelmed or whatever. And then you think about, you know, kind of leading into the spring with, as you mentioned, Rahm just looking like he was never going to lose. You had Homa with two wins by January. Scheffler had two wins by March. And it looked like it was shaping up to be an all-time, you know, season for somebody. You kind of thought Rahm would get more than four, but he obviously slowed down. And Scheffler could not make a putt, and Homa kind of disappeared. And I think that that's part of what provides, you know, great content or a great season is that it was golf. Like you go through the roller coasters, the ups and downs. So the players, you know, truly experienced kind of that roller coaster. And then us as fans got to watch them experience that, but then also experience the kind of off the course roller coaster as well. So it's memorable for sure, but it almost feels like next year's going to top it with whatever else goes on. You've got what Tiger's new league at some point and more LIV drama. I'm sure the Ryder Cup will be fantastic. So there's still more to look forward to, but I'm kind of glad we're doing this just to remind ourselves of what a kind of chaotic year it was.
That's well said. I mean, you mentioned the Ryder Cup. I mean, again, we're not going to talk about too much here, but I'm also excited for the Solheim Cup. It's really cool. Just as a golf nerd, you have the Solheim Cup and the Ryder Cup back to back this year, which is unusual. I mean, the U.S. are away for both of them. So that's a nice chunk of coffee golf, which is cool. And I mean, yeah, team golf, really fun. But yeah, it's this season, A+ for content. I think I told Dan I gave Spieth like a D, but I think I'm realizing it's more closer to maybe a C-, not that the margin's that much different.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to weigh it as the Heritage being a win changes a whole lot, just from my point of view, because he played great golf and a playoff just, I mean, it's a crapshoot. Putt is an
I'll stand by the fact that one of those two putts have to fall.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't want to have my grade go from a C- to a B if one of those putts fall. I think I harped on it all summer long. The inability of Jordan to, you know, keep momentum the last 4 months was embarrassing. I don't really know how much his wrist injury has to play into that, but I mean, regardless of the RBC, him losing that, there's no reason why from that month on, I mean, we had three majors after that point that he couldn't continue the golf that he was playing. I mean, he didn't have what Memorial maybe was the only weekend, I guess Memphis too. Where, you know, he went into the weekend with a chance to win. I mean, that's two of four, 10 or 11 events. So two of 11 events he had a chance going into the weekend to actually win, which is just sad. It could have been a really good year because he was phenomenal golf from March through the middle of April and had some great momentum that he could have carried into the May through, you know, tour championship stretch, and he just failed. So that's what was really disappointing. That he didn't really give himself any more chances to win after the Heritage, which is very unfortunate, which is why I give him a C-.
Yeah, he could have realistically had, I mean, he could have had three wins by mid-April, right? Obviously, that's very optimistic. It suggests that he finishes out the API, which he kind of played himself out of it on Saturday and then played himself back into it on Sunday with a kind of wild 14 holes of, oh my God, the putter can't miss, which did not happen much this year. Again, we'll get to that at some point, I'm sure. I went with the C- as well because no win, obviously. And he didn't win because he didn't play well when it was winning time. You think about the API, the last four holes, he had what, a two shot lead? Last five holes had a two shot lead. Promptly misses a four footer. Or five footer, four footer, six footer, eight footer, for par, par, birdie, par, and finishes with a T4, which I'm sure he's proud of. And then, you know, you think of Valspar, obviously the absolute just eight handicap tee shot on 16 to the lead, and then the absolute just like please go and putt on 17.
We don't watch that. We don't talk about that shot enough because obviously all three of us talk about and watch a lot of golf. There are very few players who hit that shot in that situation.
There's almost nobody that hits it that badly.
It is, you have to be so confused as to where the ball is going to get. Like, you have to be so unconfident over the ball to hit a shot that bad. I'd like to say you have to know where to bail out, but like, if you're playing that well, you shouldn't, like, your game's clearly in a good enough spot where you shouldn't need to bail out. Like, your miss, you should know that your miss is left rough, but it should never be, okay, I have to aim at the trees. Like, you're leading the tournament. Like, your game, right. It's at that point, it's all mental. Like, your game is there. And that's the shot, in my opinion, that I look back on this season as to really telling. It's sort of a symbol for how the rest of the season would go, because it, mentally, that was a complete collapse internally. That's just not a shot you can hit in that situation. And I mean, look at, he hit that great shot, and he grinded his way home. It just showed that his game was still there. And once he hit it in the waters, he was like freed up, I guess. Like, it was so obvious how mental that hole was. And that's what's really disappointing. And honestly, I don't know if those types of shots just make it worse for him in the future. So,
it kind of reopens some scar tissue.
Reopens some wounds. Yeah, right. It's because obviously know. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you kind of mentioned like the finish, right? Obviously scrapped out a bogey on 16. And then amazing shot in the 17. Yeah. Probably the best shot of the day in the 17.
Oh, man.
And just a weak
really
putt.
Tough to think back on that, to be
and
honest.
And just it kind of foreshadowed what happened at RBC. He played great the weekend. 66-66. You know, faced Fitzpatrick, had to birdie what? I think it was two of the last four to make a playoff. And it was just, you know, and then he had two putts. That first one, what can you do? I mean, I thought it was moving into the heart. The second one hit a little weak. And then after that, we didn't really get a whole lot. Memorial was fine. If he putts okay on Saturday, I think he's very much in it on Sunday. But, of course, he lost three strokes with the putter there. And then Memphis was Memphis. He did not deserve to be in contention at Memphis.
No, he had a few nice rounds.
The iron play was pathetic, and we'll get to that at some point as well.
He just got hot. Like, honestly, he played the last half of the season like an 150th ranked player in the world who has one good week the first 2 days. like I don't know, a Patrick Rogers. Meanwhile,
that's
Patrick Rogers is going to go out with the Fortinet and shoot 63-63 to win it.
Well, he'll be showing up on like someone.
Yeah,
well, he doesn't
gotta show up.
He doesn't get anything.
Is that next week?
I don't think. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because it's Fortinet, Solheim, right?
Mr. Thomas will be teeing it up next week,
along with some of our captains.
Yes,
Zach and like all the boomers.
Nice to see our captains.
They're definitely putting that. It's gonna be Zach Strick and JT is a featured marquee group.
And JT is
like
gonna
that.
Lose to both of them.
Yeah,
right?
And he's gonna get lapped in the round one three ball. anyway, a couple of reasons it's not an F.
It can't be an F.
Seven top sixes is pretty darn good. You know, he was there, and he doesn't have a lot of like T26s. He's got a bunch of MCs and a bunch of T6s. So it's like, all right, in theory, it's better to pop and not pop versus have a bunch of T15s. That being said, it would be nice to not miss six or seven cuts going forward a season, which kind of leads to the wrist. Who knows how much of an issue it is, but it's kind of brutal. It took away, obviously Wells Fargo was terrible, but it took away kind of a lot of momentum or positivity. Somehow actually hit it great at the PGA, but of course could not chip or putt. Which then again leads to the next issue. The putter is still not good. It was 80th. I'll just put it bluntly. It was 80th on strokes gained this year, but that doesn't count.
Close to good enough.
The Open, it doesn't count the PGA, I don't believe. Was like okay at the US Open, but that's, I mean,
he put it well once since the Heritage. Once.
Yeah. Yeah.
In like 80th 11 and, events.
Yeah. 80th in general is like, all right, it's better than 150th or whatever it was last year, but he's got to be top. He's got to be top 60 at worst in that category. I will say he was second in approach putting, so he was a good lag putter, which, well done, Mr. Spieth. You got the ball close to the hole, not in the hole. So, but I got more strokes gained numbers, but it's kind of how I add up to a C minus. I think it was nice to be relevant on a bunch of Sundays. It was not nice to see them not.
Oh God, it was well, so painful.
At least we got some. Pain.
There were glimpses throughout the year. There was never any real momentum, I feel like, besides maybe a few weeks.
There was, yeah, the March into
the March and April, yeah.
And that and then was the a Masters great stretch. And it was interesting because like, he mentioned, like, oh, I'm tired. I've played it so much golf. And he's playing his best golf. And then he said, oh, I took, you know, before Memphis, I took, you know, the 2 weeks and I played a lot. And then he comes out and somehow kind of gets his way into two back with 12 holes left on Sunday. And it's like, dude, I think their common denominator here is when you just stop like thinking and just play a crap ton of golf, you play pretty darn well. So hopefully, you know, he takes that and moves forward with that. But my guess is he'll have nine swing thoughts this off season and we'll go into January and have no idea where the golf ball is going. Cause that's a good plan. So, but yeah. any stats that stuck out to you, Jordan? I don't know if you did any like digging or looking at stuff. I don't have anything really other than his strokes gain numbers.
I mean,
but
yeah, I set six goals. He didn't meet six and the season didn't go well. So I guess my goals were pretty good because they kind of told the story, but the ball striking got worse than 2022, which was disappointing.
Yeah.
Didn't really expect that, man. He drove it really nicely in 22 and it went downhill this year for some unknown reason. I don't yeah. know why. Switching things. You mentioned he putted better, but again, he didn't putt close to as good as you need to putt to really be a good putter. I mean, Jordan Spieth, if he's going to putt worse than Rory, he's going to get lapped on a consistent basis. Because Rory is always going to be a better ball striker on probably 80 to 90% of the weeks. But the thing that Spieth used to have, that he doesn't have, Spieth used to lap this guy on the greens and he doesn't do that anymore. So
he used to lap him inside 100 yards.
Yeah, that too. The wedge play was
abysmal.
I think that's a little strong, but not as good
It was abysmal when it needed to be good. Like in contention rounds, it was abysmal. Like, sure, yeah, he had some good Thursdays. Yeah. I appreciate the better Thursdays this week, this
yes.
year.
Yeah. Very proud of the Thursdays this year.
I appreciate the Thursdays.
Too bad there's not a Thursday at Ryder Cup.
I'll be protesting for said Thursdays again next year.
Yeah.
But I guess the dilemma is you either fire yourself out around Thursday, you get heartbreak on Sunday. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
What else is on?
Well, we can definitely talk about your SAT date coming up, to say the least.
I'm looking into it. It's all my
It was a rough year, to say the least. I think we all ended up finishing in the red, which is unfortunate. Me and Dan barely finished in the red, but it was.
Yeah.
We are.
I think I might have been, if we didn't count, because we didn't do the tour championship.
Yeah. It was kind of already said and done.
But if you took minus 100 for that week, then I was red.
Yeah. But yeah, at the end of the day,
we hit some winners.
We have to be better next year.
Yeah. I think
we didn't bet on Spieth much.
No.
We might
any bet on Spieth is a bet too much though.
We
so.
Might revamp the system next year.
Yeah, the system might have to change just a bit. But we have time for that.
But I mean, look,
congrats to Mr. Spieth on making the Century Tournament of Tour Championship.
Yep. Of BMW.
No. It's
BMW championship.
It's just top 30.
We skipped the BMW recap but how about those pressure putts on 17 and 18? Just limping to the hole. And then you think, oh my God, he blew it. He blew it somehow. And it was going to be so fitting. And then
we haven't talked since then, have we?
No, we haven't. Wow. And then Chris Kirk went, he just kind of fell out of it. And Thigala bogeyed 18 and Straka bogeyed 18. So there were three dudes that pretty much bottled it on 18.
Speed did too,
right? If he, you know, if he makes one par, he's in by, he beats Hatton, he's in a much better spot. But, oh man, the game was just not good. I mean, 58th off the tee, 80th putting, 24th around the green. But then I think the key one is like 66th on approach is not good enough.
No,
that's not going to get it done at all. Unless, you know, if off the tee was like 10th and around the green was 12th or something, then yeah,
he was 58th off the tee then?
Picks up. Yeah, 58th.
That's not, so I mean,
like, for him, that's good, but like
it's still a step back though.
Approach game has got to be way, way better than it was. And I was, they put out a highlight video of him this year. And it's a lot of just chip-ins. And what's interesting is that pretty much all the times he contended, he chipped in like twice. And so that from almost impossible spots, right? So that kind of tells a story of like, all right, he kind of just bailed himself out two times in these tournaments to be in contention instead of, you know, there wasn't a very boring like.
I guess to win, you kind of, you got to steal a couple.
Maybe Valspar. Yeah. I will say one more kind of quick thought on some of these tournaments. Like the Sundays were pretty good until they weren't, if that makes any sense. Like API was fantastic until the last five holes. Yeah. Valspar was, he was, what? He was like,
well,
clean card three under through 15 and then just absolutely blocked fade on 16 with water right. You know, the Heritage was pretty darn good except for that weak bogey on 14, but to play five under at golf on Sunday and do that is solid. I mean, like, there were good Sundays. Memorial was one under, one of the better rounds of the day.
That was an impressive
Memphis was pretty bad. Memphis was pretty bad, but like, he had decent Sundays. He just hit the worst golf shots of all time when it really mattered.
Well, I mean, looking back at like of the I mean, obviously this year we didn't have our normal Byron Nelson,
Craig Ranch,
Charles Schwab and AT&T trilogy of contention. We didn't have contention any of them actually.
That's true.
One of them we didn't even play.
That's amazing.
His
best finish in those was a T65 or something.
Yeah, that's really bad. So that's obviously wild. The tournaments you're looking at this year are API, Valspar, and the Heritage. Of those three, which one do you guys think hurts the most, and which one do you guys think is the worst loss?
Heritage definitely hurts the most. He played the best. I mean, he played good enough to win. He did. He said that too, and I disagree with like 90% of the things he says, but he just said
I disagree with probably closer to 98%.
Yeah. But like he said, like Fitzpatrick, he played great too. So I mean that happens. There's a lot of weeks where guys play worse and win, but happens. Yeah. Worst loss.
I think it's Valspar, to be honest. Because API, like,
probably the easiest of the three to win.
Yeah. Well, and just the
API,
way
he didn't really play that good. He just happened to be in the picture because no one else. I mean,
right. But I also think we remember Saturday at Valspar, he made like 7 birdies and 5 bogeys, which
he didn't
brutal.
Play great on Friday. Was it Friday too? He didn't play great at Valspar.
Friday, I think Friday was just kind of a like dull. He didn't do a whole lot.
I didn't get to watch it, but Memorial was very bad too. I mean, Jordan Spieth strikes the ball like that, and he doesn't win.
Saturday. I mean,
he hit every fairway and shot even par.
He was 3 back at the end of the day Saturday, and he lost 3 strokes on the greens on Saturday.
That might be like my, you know, sleeper.
He would have been in the final group with Rory on Sunday at 6-under.
I mean, how do you hit every fairway and shoot even with a golf course with 4 par fives? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, and then change your swing thought the next week.
That was a brutal tournament for him. I never felt like he was in it, but
Memorial.
Yeah,
he was there the whole time. He just didn't make putts when he needed to, like, get back. Like, he played
every time. Like, it was like the 5th or 6th hole, and we'd be like, okay, this is a must make, and then he'd miss it. And then 3 holes later, like, no one would move.
He hit the ball,
another must make, and he missed it again. And it's just like he never made it. He never gave himself a chance to move into.
Yeah,
I mean, he could have shot
Mr. Porter.
He could have probably shot like.
I mean, we didn't even talk about the real struggles that you remember how bad Genesis was with the putter.
Yeah.
And then he just got all hunched over and like angled and mechanical and he started making some putts. But it was like, holy moly. I forgot about, because Phoenix, dude, he flushed it at Phoenix too. He wasn't catching Scotty or Nick, but he didn't make any putts there either.
He did flush it.
And it was just like, are we doing
this? He had a lot of really solid weeks, but they were just loser weeks, to be honest.
Loser
week.
I didn't win. Loser weeks, man. Every week was a loser week.
He just stacked them up this year, man. I do. He said he played better. He said he played the most like complete golf he had played in 5 years. I think relative, it's not like that inaccurate. I do think he probably played a little bit better in 2021.
Yeah.
And I think the last 4 months kind of overshadow the first, that like 7 weeks from Phoenix to RBC. Because I think he got up to what, like 6th or 7th in data golf rankings?
And following then he just, the Heritage?
Yeah, I think he's like 27th or something now.
Yeah, it was good until it wasn't good.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell happened after. The thing with that was funny about Wells Fargo is, I mean, the first 17 holes of that Thursday were going great. Well, not great, but he played like a good round. I think
it was a grindy Thursday.
Grindy Thursday, and then the dude.
And he makes a triple. A
couple balls in the water. It's 2 in the water. Season just unravels after that.
That's the moment right there.
Yeah.
That freaking river 18 at Wells Fargo, which to be fair, he didn't play in. No, maybe he did. Didn't they switch it for the President's Cup? They made it 15, I think. I was gonna say
because they wanted the green mile like in the finishing stretch, by the way.
So, but yeah, what a season, man! Full of memes and no wins,
dull moments. Yeah, it'd be nice if Mr. Spieth. This will be like one of my goals for the next season. Can we please stop using January and February as like a warm up? Those events count just as much as every other event, and the dude comes into the Hawaii swing every year like, I'm rusty, like, dude, just
like,
go play.
No excuse for that.
No. Yeah. You think Rom goes in with that mindset when he goes to Kapalua?
Clearly not. He won like 3 of the 4 tournaments.
Like, it's just embarrassing, man. Like, yeah, the dudes, it is. The events count just the same.
Yeah.
And he goes into every fall and early, I guess, winter, January, February, with like no expectations, and he's like, well, March is when I really start to build up. And it's painfully annoying, and as much as I don't like it, he gets to go to Kapalua. Like, it'd be nice if you could take advantage of that opportunity, and I will get into it later.
Is not a huge fan of taking advantage.
No, he's not, but we'll get into it later. I assume he'll be at Sony again. I don't think he'll skip Sony, so we'll have
to. I forgot about Sony.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal too.
A little 500 to open solo lead,
FRL.
And then just missed the cut with a a whopping like 74 around a track that was playing at one or two under. I mean, that was
that
insane.
Was bad.
And then follow that up with a T65 at Pebble.
and then
somehow you get a T6 at Waste Management. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. There were warm-up events. I mean, it's like the preseason for him.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's insane.
It'll be nice though. Next year we'll get in the schedule, but we're going to have a big field at Pebble, which will be fun. The lights will be brighter. So I don't really know how that affects Jay's speed, but the lights getting a little bit brighter.
It'll be cool to see.
I mean, I think Bob and I share the same thought that as a U.S. Open venue, Pebble's overrated.
Oh, for sure.
But like, it'll be
is
cool
that next
to have
year.
But it's just gonna be cool to have like a U.S. Open like field.
Say, it's at Mr. Hurst next year.
And Mr. P. Hurst.
That will be sensual to say the least. That will be fun watching Mr. Spieth miss putts all week from two
feet. That's another complaint. It'd be nice to not be a complete liability every year in the U.S. Open and the PGA.
Well,
I mean, it's a complete liability.
It'll be even more of a liability at a place that where you have to actually put a lot of effort into 2 foot putts.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. Like I read a tweet. Like it's bad. Like how like pathetic he is in the U.S. and the PGA. Like it's bad.
Yeah, it's very. I'm very happy that he's won the U.S. Open because he probably won another one.
He's got 3 top tens and 17 tries and what 2. Or all 3 of the, well, 2 of them are from 15. So he has got 1 top 10 in 15 other tries if you take out 2015 at the U.S.
Which
Open.
Is the PGA in 2019
PGA U.S. Open.
Where he never had a chance to win. Like, it's
prolific.
Bad.
A major killer.
And I get it. Like, those two don't fit him very well, but you would think if you're Jay Spieth and you, because he can go into a Masters.
That's what
Open,
you're peaking for.
Like, dude, you should be working on what those tournaments call for more than any other tournament. And that's what, usually long iron play. Because he can go into any Open and any Masters and play well. But, like, you would think he'd put, like, extra emphasis on what those two tournaments require. And, like, he clearly doesn't because every year he goes into them and, you know, it doesn't go well. So that'd be a nice ask for next year.
Low-key, I'm not going to see it in Rome. But it'd be nice if he just pulled out a Lucas Glover putter.
Oh my god.
Or something like that. Just like
honestly, he could putt so bad and I would still love to see that.
Like
just
a meme so quickly on Twitter.
Or just like the old JT putter or like a Titleist spider or something like that. So their version of the spider. Like
I'd appreciate the effort to say at least.
Oh man, their stroke is just so like I don't know.
Uncommitted.
I don't even have words for it. You guys can fill in the blank. It's
the thing with good. The like I want change too, but if he went to like a Broom, like Spieth is so feel, and I feel like his Scotty gives him that. I mean it's
it wouldn't work,
bad.
But like
yeah,
I just want to see him try, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, I think I'm probably on the same. I mean, it's just been a failure for basically 2 straight years now, so I guess I'll take whatever I can get. But well, with
try
the putter,
like 6
with
of the last
putter,
7.
I know, but with the putter, like specifically. But yeah, I don't know what
he shouldn't have a Broom, but like maybe something with a little bit more face stability.
The complacency is just so annoying with the guy. Like this is 2 years now of bad putting, man. You gotta change.
Yeah,
something.
It's funny because I'm not even sure complacency is like the right word. I think it's almost insanity. Yeah. Like he's trying the same things and it's not working. Like I think he cares. He cares because he's proud and he wants to be great.
he is
really
proud.
Does.
He is proud of
you
could
see
his
how
place on tour.
Like the Open. Yep. The,
he's what, proud of being a professional golfer.
But it's just like, dude,
he's just happy to be out there, man.
Yeah, if you're getting this frustrated, why not stop? Like,
because he is a very
practice routine a little bit.
He is
a
very competitive person. Like you can tell. It's like I don't know where the interest is lost.
Yeah. I don't think changing, because it's not Michael Greller's fault at all. But I think for Michael Greller's sake, like I don't know. I mean, I know they're supposed to be like this, and they've had great times, but man, Greller's beard is getting gray faster than
the
like
bald
Wayne
spot is getting larger too. Though. Like it's man,
like that thing is getting gray so quick. It's just like, dude, at some point you got to protect your. Maybe that's why he doesn't play in the fall. Greller's like, no, I'm not showing. I'm not showing up for you at the Fortnite. Like,
oh man, that's right in Greller's neck of the woods, though. So like,
yeah, but I mean, he's got to go to Rome. Greller, you know.
I heard Marco Simeone's like a brutal walk too. I forgot where I heard that.
I'm very pumped for our cup.
Yeah,
but I'm
Speaking
also
of, I believe Mr. Seam should be on the team. For the European side, I feel like that would give their chances.
Jaeger didn't make the team, did he?
Well,
he did not.
Interesting.
What's crazy is wrong, that I think right now you would put Jay Spieth up against any Euro, and I think us three would be like
taking the Euro.
Three and two.
Like it's a 3-2 for like Ludwig, but if you throw him up against. Like he could get 7-6 by Sepp Straka.
Oh yeah, Sepp Straka could go out and completely just.
I mean, Sepp Straka could go shoot like 61, and Spieth would fire a 74, and it'd be like. Yeah.
This isn't negativity either, or bias. I mean, Spieth never won a Ryder Cup singles match, so.
No, that's facts. Well, hey, so his season will go to a C if he wins a single match.
That's fair. I'll.
I think I can get down with that.
I can be down with that, yeah.
That'd be his best triumph.
I just want to see him play like a big European name. I forgot where I said this. Like, I don't know if it's we don't think he's like very confident right now, do we?
Jay Spieth?
No. So like, if he went
I think playing for a team makes it better though.
Yeah, but I love to see him play. Like, if I get to, I have to see Thomas versus Rory again, the way Thomas played. Like,
no.
I would love to see Jay Spieth have like an opportunity to go out there against like. A raw, I mean, and like it could very well go very bad, but like I feel like for his confidence sake, like it would be an opportunity. Like, you get what I'm saying?
I think it's all
opportunities for Jay Spieth are not something that he likes very much.
I know, but like,
if he was if he and JT somehow rolled the 4-0, then yeah, I think you throw them both out there pretty early. My guess is he plays three times.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing four.
I don't think he's playing all four. But honestly, I don't think he – like, what they start with foursomes, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's earned – like, I think there's eight guys that you throw out in foursomes, and none of them are named Jordan Spieth.
I think he plays the first time.
I think he's going
both
to.
Both times.
I think Zach's going to want him out there with JT. I agree with
that. I think he'll be out there all – I think he'll be out there the first three rounds. He'll sit the fourth, and he'll –
Well, my thinking, Dan, is like it's either he plays or he's sitting JT and Spieth because they're not going to play.
Yeah,
well, yeah. I think Spieth. You throw him out in four balls that afternoon, and then I think. Well, okay. So here's the problem. I know we're getting
the problem is him, but like, good, go on here.
But if you, because you're trying to win it, obviously, right? And I think if you can somehow. Have the foursomes in the morning go 2-2, and then you just pull Spieth and Thomas off the bench to
make a
shit ton of birdies. Like, I think that's a kick right there, and then you get them rolling in the Saturday morning.
What was Spieth's birdie?
You want to know what just hit me?
What's if up? You get blown out 3.5 to
the 9-hour time difference between where I am and where the Ryder Cup is.
Yeah, you're screwed. Yeah.
You're talking like
they're
one of the morning.
They're gonna be teeing off before you go to sleep.
Oh, that's actually not bad.
Yeah, you just stay up.
Like just stay up.
I mean, or you'll watch.
Which I've been doing regardless. So, like,
I'm done.
You'll be good.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
If Spieth isn't playing, are you sleeping?
It depends. If he's not playing in the afternoon, like if it's like a 4 o'clock tee time, like that's probably when I get my sleep, you know? But it depends because I am going to have a very large wager on the United States that I will.
We should save this for our cup.
Yeah, we should.
There'll be some banter back and forth.
Oh, there will be banter.
Very much so.
I know Jordan has a wager on
Team Europe.
The enemy.
I do. We'll see if I can sway it any bit.
But that's not what we'll talk about. Yeah. Do you guys have any other thoughts regarding
this season? I
have one.
Go ahead. Yeah, because I don't.
It's a big sigh. That's it.
Nice. Again, I mean, it's been 8 consecutive majors of not having a chance on a Sunday to win, which is just sad. Had some regular events, but I mean, the guy that had 3 majors by 24 years old, it would be nice to actually contend at one again on a Sunday to really get the juices flowing. Bob said it though, played better on, I mean, I guess he played better on Thursdays. I'll give it to him. The Masters threw strokes away, but he was in it. He still shot a decent score, even with the hiccups. Open, really nice Thursday. PGA, not great, but I mean, Brooks won shooting 3 over. So, I mean, Spieth, obviously, he was, I mean, you need to play amazing golf to win, but shown it could be done at 3 over. US Open was just a wreck of a week. You change your swing going into it. That's, Dan alluded to it earlier.
Unacceptable.
Maybe the lowest, not lowest, but most embarrassing moment of the season from Jay Spieth to, you know, strike the crap out of it, Jack's place, and all of a sudden change things. Like, I don't, and I get, like, Bob will say this, and I fully understand it. The stats don't tell the entire story. But after Memorial, Jay Spieth sort of looked at his stats and said, like, nothing needs to switch on this end when he struck it as well as he did at Memorial, and then he changes his swing.
No, but he's Jay Spieth.
Yeah, so. Like.
What do you expect?
Yeah, less swing changes next year would be much appreciated from the Jason.
Much appreciated.
Just do what you did this March to April. Don't change anything, man. A lot of work on the putter. We need something needs to change with the putter going into next year. I don't know what it is, but I want to notice something like visually that's going to change, because it's still really bad. And he was bad within 5 feet again this year. I don't think it was as bad. But, like, it still was not pretty from the Spieth camp from short range this year.
Yeah. Well said. I don't have anything else. I mean,
I don't either. At the end of the day, shitty season. not fun to watch. Made me hate the sport at times. But we'll be back for Mr. Cup, which should be fun. I mean, it really should be.
I'd hope so. Should be a good cup. We'll talk about it.
We'll have something big for episode 100 for sure.
Yeah, should be a good cup, as Dan said. Yeah, it
should be a lot closer than the last cup.
I don't see a blowout either way.
But I do think the United States wins handily. I don't think it's a blowout, but I think it's 4 or 5 point win.
That's a blowout in my book.
That's okay. Maybe more like 3.
Okay.
I think it comes down to Jay Spieth versus. Straka.
So congrats to Europe.
Yeah.
If he makes a 4-footer, they win.
Put your money.
I will say, for years, this is the positive I look back on the season. For years, we have been ruining Jay Spieth having a putt on 18 from 6 to 10 feet to make a playoff or win a tournament. And he did make it this year. He did make it.
He did.
Which we've been ruining that putt for a long time.
True.
That's true.
But then he missed the one at Valspar on 17, which was monumental.
Yeah, that was
missed the ton at 8. So, like, he made one.
Well, we're not going to sit here and
he was for a couple.
Jay Spieth batted 200.
And then he missed all the ones at API.
Yeah.
Oh, so. My God. And, he could have won 4 times this year.
In fairness, though, he made the most recent one because of the APY ones he met, but he got better. But the problem is, over the last 4 months, he didn't even give himself any putts.
Yeah, he made that putt. He made that putt almost 5 months ago now.
Well, to be fair, he had the putt at BMW on 18, and that obviously didn't
go. Oh, yes, yes, yes. All the risk, though. All the risk has to be. And it's all Cam McCormick's fault. Screw that guy McCormick. Fire him.
To depart, unfortunately, but it was a pleasure being back with the gang. We'll be back for more in the Ryder Cup preview. Glad to talk to you guys all again.
Yes. And, love you, gentlemen, very much.
Love you as well.
Good to see you.
Peace.
We'll be back soon. Take care.